Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, folks. We are broadcasting live from the floor of the Caesars Superdome. The venue is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's such a different type of venue, and I am pleased to be here with Mike Haas this morning. And Mike, welcome, and look forward to today's show. But we've done this a couple of times now. I'm always amazed when I'm standing on the floor of the dome.
It is. It's never. This has been a part of my professional life for 35 years, and I'm never not amazed and stunned when I walk in here. And for this event, it's the fifth year for this luncheon and honors, and it's such an important event. But the lights are kind of down, so it's even a kind of a cooler vibe that's in here. But it's a. You're right. It's and I go to them all. This is the best.
So we're here for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. I was looking at the history of events last evening, going back to 1991.
Yep.
And I remember some of them, but I don't remember the breadth and depth of how many different types of events the Sports Foundation has played a pivotal role in luring to the city of New Orleans.
You should. It's on the website. I did the same thing. You should go look at the page. It's just an impressive reminder. And the first was the 91, and Doug Thornton and Evan Holmes and a lot of people who have been a part of this, and Jay Cicero will tell you that the 1992, when they got the Olympic trials, was you're on the map kind of situation, and that was a big deal. But since then, they've become the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. You know, this mission of bringing big events, they've become the template. We have created other associations and nonprofits in other cities who now compete with us, who took our model. You did it too well, It's a competitive landscape out there for everything.
And the organization, speaking of, you just mentioned Evan Holmes, he joins us today. He's in charge of ASM, the operating partner of the Superdome, and a longtime, I guess, member of the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. We have become a little bit, I think, a victim of our own success, right? And welcome to the show.
Yes, thanks. Yeah. Welcome to you all. Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Superdome. And you're right. Every time you walk out here, it's one of those moments that, man, it's a pretty cool place to work and a pretty cool place to have people over to enjoy themselves. So thank you for being here, and thank you for the opportunity to join
you. So you say that at 8 in the morning. Do you say that at midnight?
Sometimes when you're here at 8 at night or midnight, you know, your feet hurt. But at the end of the day, it's all context, and it's a cool place to be at the end of the day. So we'll take it. But no, you're right. Yeah, this venue and everything we talk about with the support from the Sports Foundation and the folks and our partners at the city and the state and everywhere really across the board when you're doing these big events really all starts with the venue. And you can have hospitality, you can have the entertainment, but at the end of the day, the primary venue is really the top of the list on the bullet points of requirements for these big events. And so the Superdome is no stranger to these major events. We joke around here. We say, I don't think there's anything that we haven't done that can be done. And if there is something out there, we'll probably get it here soon. But, we're always excited for this event because it gives us a chance to kind of reflect a little bit. And this year, especially after what we had last year, Super Bowl will be the lead topic. But it's funny, I was talking to my daughter actually this morning. It was about a year ago. we had Taylor Swift kind of rolling out of town, and I'm still wearing a couple of my friendship bracelets still that she won't let me take off. But everything that's happened since then, it's pretty impressive.
And you, I'm sure, you know, in that list of things that if we haven't done it, it will come. You had Savannah Bananas on there somewhere. And who would have thought?
Yeah.
And for people that do not know, you know, this is such a unique event. I'm not saying it's equal to Taylor Swift, but that's you get tickets the same way. And there will be 2 days of sellouts. And so it's a building that will transform itself into baseball for 2 days in March of 26. And it's just it's the variety.
Yep. And we're actually sitting here kind of on the northwest corner of the field. We're basically sitting at home plate.
Yep.
Yeah. So kind of think about that here come the spring. But, yeah, that's an event that we've actually been speaking to them for a while. They wanted to come a few years ago, but we couldn't host them because of the renovation project. We had cranes and it was a laydown yard where we're sitting rather than a turf field that we get to experience today. So having conversations directly with the team, working through all that, and working with some of our partners, we were able to pull it off, and we're super excited. I think it's you know, almost 200,000 people have signed up to say, I want to have an opportunity.
I signed it.
I did.
Within a minute or two, the notice like, going on.
I work here, but I'm going, no, I'm putting in for tickets. I'm not taking any chances.
So we're excited.
I tried to twist Jay Cicero's arm. He said, no shot, dude. You got to go in the lottery.
That's right.
It's impressive. It's quite the operation. So we're excited to have them next year.
And we never want to take for granted the legacy events that the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation plays a big part of, the New Orleans Bowl, Bayou Classic, all of the things that, you know, high school football, Battle of the Bands, you know, the legacy events are something that are on people's schedules now for 26, for 27. You know, the Bayou Classic folks can tell you, yeah, I've got my flights, I got my hotel for 27. Yep. Those kind of events are so crucial.
Well, we wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for those legacy events.
Sugar Bowl,
Bayou Classic, and, of course, the Saints. I mean, going back in history, those two events were a big part of the deal-making to get this building even developed. So you're right. We call them legacy events because they're part of the history here, and they come every year, but we don't take them for granted because they are, you know, we talk about Super Bowl in the general sense, but that is the Super Bowl for those groups, and we treat them as such. And so Sugar Bowl, especially with the changing of the CFP dynamic and what that entails, and you mentioned competition, and everyone's trying to get in the game, and I think gone are the days of the traditional bowl season. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't just get to sit back and wait for the best Big 12 and the best SEC team. It's a competitive process. So there's going to be a lot of resources dedicated to that event. And, of course, the Bayou Classic, that's one of my favorite events, frankly. And we always talk about Bayou Classic, but the Battle of the Bands on the Friday before is, I think, must see TV. If it was on TV, we got to be here to experience that. So, diversity of event content is something that we really enjoy, and that's a great one for us.
As you kind of look to the future and look to 26 and beyond, and, you know, we mentioned the Sugar Bowl, the ability to get, like, in 25, the, you know, UFC 318, that might, maybe if you weren't a fan and you didn't know a lot about it, but you came, you saw a unique event. Dustin Poirier today is getting the Legacy Award. And then the ability to get the national championship game in 28, because I will say this, I don't want to say this for the next, you know, the breadth of the show, but Jeff with the Sugar Bowl was very candid in that it's not a rotation anymore. Mm-hmm. It is a battle, and we need the community, the business community, to understand that it just doesn't happen. The Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation is a 501(c).
Yep.
And so this is going to be a community effort. If we want to keep being the city of major events, that's what we need.
Yeah, I mean, the saying we have here is the value of anything is the price people are willing to pay for it. And the value for these big events are demonstrated by the price these other communities are willing to pay for it. And you have markets that, whether we like it or not, have maybe more resources than we do. You have the Nashvilles of the world, the Vegases of the world, those that have the corporate support and the willingness and really the initiative to go and, frankly, write checks and otherwise underwrite these events. And you got to be creative and you got to work through it. And unfortunately, it's the price of poker if you want to maintain the competitive nature of New Orleans. But, you know, that's not always all of it. It's a big part of it, but it's also the resource that we have here with the venue and the downtown and the walkability and all the other intangibles that others are still trying to chase. But look, they're coming, and they're looking, and there's a lot of resources being thrown at these major events.
Well, the interesting thing, I believe, and what's going to raise the level of the challenge for us is that you have a lot of people building domes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, close.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that.
So they recognize there's a value, you know, proposition to having a dome.
Yeah, and I think, and again, that's one part of it, the Clevelands of the world, which is always, I'm a native Ohioan, so I always kind of snicker building a dome along that lake. But, you know, that's a part of it, but it's also the infrastructure. And I think when we're talking about the Sports Foundation, it's as much the people that you can call when you have a challenge in real time during event planning. And the quicker you can resolve it and the quicker you can have everyone kind of pulling the rope the same direction, that is a factor in the selection of these events now.
And I think it's understated. A lot of people don't recognize the production side of putting on these presentations to actually sell the product.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an industry unto itself now, right?
It really is. And it's so diverse in the sense that it crosses well beyond just the four corners of a venue. You know, they don't just roll the ball out and you start playing. You know, these things require much more than just the venue staff, the operation on the geographic campus here. You know, I joke with people. I say the last thing we're really worried about at the end of the day is how the game actually happens. It's everything leading up to it. And by the time they kick the ball off, it's like, all right, let's just maintain and get people out of here safe and do what we need to do. But, you know, you're working closely with the municipalities, with the state leadership. You're dealing with traffic. You're dealing with other venues, be it the convention center, other hospitality, and kind of tie that all together as a package. And frankly, to make that as easy as possible for the event provider, be it the NFL, the CFP, you know, they kind of want to have a one-stop shop, and they want to have maybe, instead of making 15 phone calls to each individual group, we want to make one phone call, and you've got the infrastructure there to kind of source it and come back with a reasonable answer.
Probably no more evident of that than the Super Bowl to me, where, you know, I feel like the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, Walt with New Orleans and Company, Michael Hecht and his group, it was everybody to pull this off in those final 3 and 4 months, pull the rope at the same time, one voice, get it done. And that was as clear a case of this city kind of speaking as one voice and getting together. And I just feel in general, the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, the New Orleans and Company, everybody is on the same page.
Yeah. And at the same time, you're actually doing the work. You realize it's an on-the-job interview, too, right? So everyone's looking, all right, how'd that work? How'd that go? Are they going to be able to replicate this? Is this just a one-time thing? And the answer in New Orleans is no. It's a known commodity. We have the infrastructure. I'll keep coming back to that with leadership and other representatives that work on the team, where some of these other markets that are kind of trying to get into the game, the Clevelands of the world, that's an unknown commodity. I mean, yeah, they probably have people saying the right thing, but New Orleans has how many years worth of history? And we could say, we've done this. It's not a, we think we can. It's, we know we can, and here's the proof.
Well, I think you said it earlier, and when you look at the dome as being the middle of a series of concentric circles, in New Orleans, our series of concentric circles are very tightly wound, right? So everything is really close. A lot of these other cities, no matter what they do, no matter what venue they build, they don't have that series of concentric circles like we do. So many hotel rooms within walking distance of the venue and otherwise. You've been to almost every NFL city, Mike, and I've been to a bunch of them as well. Some of them are very inconvenient places to visit.
Well, we call it the Golden Triangle. Mike's heard it 100 times. You've got the Dome campus and the Arena campus. A mile away, you have the French Quarter. A mile away from that, you have the Convention Center. And in the middle, you have 26,000 hotel rooms and world-class hospitality, cuisine, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and Michelin-star restaurants
and now. We have Michelin-star restaurants, absolutely. And the fact that you can get off your airplane, maybe take an Uber into town, but you don't have to get in another four wheels the rest of your trip here.
Yeah.
You get in your hotel room, you walk out, you may grab a drink, you walk down to the venue or the hospitality, and you're on your way. And that doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, Nashville maybe a little bit. Indianapolis kind of built their downtown kind of with us as a model. But you're right. You go other places. I won't name names, but, you know.
I will. Miami.
Well.
That's the city that we're tied with South Florida for the most Super Bowls
in
the city.
Since we're naming names, I always like
I did I got you off the hook.
Well, use the wrap. I mean, look at the Super Bowl next year.
And that place is not convenient at all.
Santa Clara.
Right. Look at the Super Bowl next year. And I tell people, it's if you think about it, the Super Bowl, a couple things. One, all of the hospitality that happened in the French Quarter, downtown, warehouse district, et cetera, for our Super Bowl will happen really in San Francisco and a couple communities around San Francisco proper. For those that don't know, the 49ers play in Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And Santa Clara is effectively like going to Baton Rouge. So imagine going to your hospitality before the game and then saying, all right, I hope everybody's having a good time. Let's jump on this bus or shuttle. It'll be a nice shuttle, but we're going to drive upwards of an hour based on traffic to go to the game, enjoy it, and then, all right, everybody back on and back. So, you know, that's that works for them. I get that. But it's, you know, that people think about that when
it's they're the way Miami was.
It will not be the intimate feel that is offered here.
No.
I mean, and that's the difference is there's intimacy because of the closeness here. Miami doesn't have it. Santa Clara's in. It's really weird. That stadium's in the middle of a neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. And it's not far from the airport, so you've got some hotels.
Yeah.
Some, but not enough. I can assure you the NFL will take all of those hotels.
Yeah. And we love it. I'm waiting for my phone to start buzzing here from our friends and if they're listening. But look, it's but the other
it's
thing
okay.
about
I'll
New Orleans.
Take the heat.
Yeah, that's all right. But, you know, we're all competing one way or the other, right? But it's also the authentic nature of New Orleans, where if you go to some of these other communities, you can tell when they're trying to manufacture kind of a sense of place. And, you know, it doesn't take long for people to kind of sniff that out. When they come here, they can tell, all right, this isn't they're not creating this. This is already here, and they're kind of just elevating it. So I think that's another level to it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
I just wanted fair, you know, so that people understand, as we look to 26, we have the Rockin' Thousand. People, if you
That'll
don't know
fun.
What that is, it's a 1,000-member band, the Banana Ball Savannah Bananas. You know, this Compete for Cause Classic Basketball, and you know, Nate Bargatze, Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There are so many events.
I think Jay's going to tease one today that's going to be announced today, which will be unique. It'll be fun.
Awesome.
So I'm not going to take the wind out of his sails. But we're also, I was joking with Mike before we went on air, we're kind of in very close point of putting pen to paper on two major events as well in the near future. So we're always looking, and it's never booking the show for tomorrow. It's booking the show for the next 2 or 3 years, and that's what we do every day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and congratulations on all the successes that y'all have had in working in collaboration with all of this, your role with the Sports Foundation, too. All you need to do, Mike, is, again, go look at this list. It speaks for itself.
Legends General Manager Evan Holmes, as always, we appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live at the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Banquet. Mike Haas, Newell Norman, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. That's right. We are on the floor of the Caesars Superdome, for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Luncheon. And we are now joined by Carlin Connor, who's the president and CEO of IMTT.
Officially chairman and CEO, but it doesn't matter to me.
Of IMTT, a company who's been around a long time here in the city of New Orleans, been a great corporate partner on so many different fronts. And you've taken a very proactive role with the Sports Foundation.
That's right. You know, New Orleans is one of those cities where you really, once it bites you, you're kind of there. And we decided that we needed to lean in to help as much as we can as a corporate partner in various ways, nonprofit ways, as well as in the case of the Sports Foundation, really understanding the role of sports as a community connector. And the connection for American sports with the city of New Orleans is very strong. And building on that tourism and hospitality base, we really are happy to be part of the foundation's efforts to continue to bring top-notch events to the city.
You know, you've been on my show before, and we've talked about economic development and the role that IMTT plays. As you look at the landscape today, how do you assess it? How do you feel about it?
You know, it's, I would say I'm cautiously optimistic. Put aside the topical news of a budget crisis and some near-term challenges, I still believe the region is set up for some success. In my world, in oil and gas world, liquid storage world, we see a lot of opportunities building off of the natural gas molecule. I mean, we still believe that this part of the country and this part of the world is, you know, low-cost natural gas, available natural gas for companies to invest and build big petrochemical facilities that use that as a feedstock. That's an important, we believe, driver for future growth in the region. Controversially, part of that is a sequestration story that that there's a lot of debate right now. You know, we need to see, I'm being a little bit talking my book on this, but I think we need to see the sequestration logjam alleviate so that we can see some of these projects come to fruition. You got to remember, these projects are international markets. These are not necessarily domestic markets. And so I think if we can get through that, I see a lot of growth in Southeast Louisiana, and New Orleans obviously would be a huge benefactor of that, beneficiary of that growth.
When you first kind of got involved with the Sports Foundation, I don't know what you knew about where its funding came from, and you know, people just assume it just happens, and you learn that it's, you know, they've raised since they began more than $100 million privately, and half of that comes from the public. So I was just wondering about your first impressions of, I didn't understand the mechanics of how this really works and how much you do need the private sector to be involved.
It's a great question, and you're right. The first time I really started to dig in on the landscape of New Orleans and figuring out where can we lean in and help, the Sports Foundation was not on top of my list. But as I spoke to Jay Cicero and his team, and understanding that private-public partnership requirement for this to work, and really then looking back 30 years and look at what they have accomplished in a very, very, very low seed money amount, right? I mean, they started out not a lot. And think about the economic benefits that have accrued over these last 30 years. Just a Super Bowl 59, I think, $1.25 billion. For the area, and the greater region, maybe over $3 billion, and that's one event. And so I think we have to, as a private citizen and a corporate member, we have to lean in and continue to give them the support they need to go out and attract these great events.
Now, you guys are presenting sponsor of the Legacy Awards. Tell us a little bit about.
Yeah, so we were honored to be asked to be the sponsor for the Legacy Award, and today's recipient of that award, Dustin Poirier, Louisiana-owned Lafayette guy. Mm-hmm. By the way, my mother grew up in Kaplan, Louisiana.
Oh, there you go.
So we speak a little bit of the same language.
You've got a few crawfish.
I have a few crawfish in my time. So I'm really, really excited to present Dustin. And you know what the Legacy Award really is about is taking, in the case of, this is about sports, taking a sportsman or an organization that's around sports that has made an impact in the arena, but then taking it outside of the arena and using and leveraging that success in the arena to drive for better outcomes outside of the arena. And Dustin and his wife Jolie have done a fantastic job of of creating the Good Fight Foundation, which, interesting enough, I don't know if you did any research, but it started out, he basically had a basement full of bloody gloves and shorts and
don't
shirts.
We all?
Yeah. I'm sure. I don't know, Mike. I suspect he had more.
Yes. His were earned.
It might have been more your blood on yours. Right?
That's right.
Exactly.
But they realized that, hey, let's do something with this. And I think they started auctioning off that memorabilia and raising money to invest in a local needy community. So I think that was fantastic. Recognizing what you can do and then leveraging it and making a difference. And so the Legacy Award is really about honoring those kinds of activities.
Yeah. You got to love those stories, though, right?
Love them.
I mean, you know, they're just so unique and so Louisiana, so New Orleans.
And it really speaks to, you know, I think Dustin and Jolie's heart, but also to their creativity and to their recognition that, hey, you know, this is a waste. I can do something with this. And, I mean, we talk about the resiliency of Louisianians. You know, we're also very creative people.
Yeah. When it was here, you know, it was my first UFC event. Didn't know what to expect. It is the most, one of the smartest groups. It's the most fan-friendly event I've been around. And I think we're going to see, and I got to, you know, talk to Dustin. And I think we're just going to see really what the Good Fight Foundation can do. In the world of foundations, it is brand new. It started in 2018, and now, you know, with his retirement, he's going to have a lot more time to put towards it, and he's traveled the globe. He knows Louisiana. He knows where the problems are, and I think just kind of his involvement moving forward and your involvement with that, giving him the Legacy Award, I think it's just we're on such the front edge of that.
Yeah, and you think about the world of sports memorabilia. I mean, that's a huge industry on its own, a for-profit industry. And you wonder if other athletes that have the platform will start to think, you know what, I'm not going to sell that jersey to the collector. I'm going to go ahead and auction it and use that money for some good cause.
Right.
That'd be great. And I think the Good Fight Foundation has tapped into that a little bit.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So let's talk a little bit. You're a recent transplant here, I think, from Oklahoma.
Is yes, that correct? Yes.
From Oklahoma, as I recall. You've been here, a couple of years now? What's the thing that you find the most intriguing?
About New Orleans?
Yes.
You better embrace the chaos.
Either New Orleans or your next-door neighbor.
Right? Love the friends. You got to embrace the chaos. I think this is a city that has so much to offer, but you got to be prepared to kind of work through some things to get there. And what we learned early on, and we've moved all over for my career, but the last stop was Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is basically the opposite of New Orleans. You know, everything was very, as you can imagine.
Culture shock?
It's very big, big time. But what we learned in New Orleans is that because of that fight to find what's so beautiful about this city, is that you go to bed at night with a smile on your face because you've lived it.
Right.
And it's not a boring world at all here in New Orleans. And to be honest, it's touched us. And our daughter graduated from Newman High School last year. So she's her 4 years of high school or New Orleans High School. So she is a New Orleanian now.
Right.
We're not allowed to move, evidently, at this point.
There will be some guy that will come into her world that she will lure from South Carolina somewhere. She's not going there. He's coming here.
Yeah. That started already, and I think my house for Mardi Gras is going to be booked. She goes to school in Los Angeles, and I think there's a lot of L.A. folks coming to Mardi Gras.
Well, you have to embrace it. You have to, you know, and I, for those that don't know, and I think, you know, IMTT is a company that began in the 30s. You know, a Coleman family bought up the track at Avondale. It is a local company that's been here for more than a century. And you house liquids and, you know, oil and those products, but also vegetable oil, tropical oils, you know, tanks. It's you know, it's just a sector that I don't think people think much about. But I feel like it's important to let them know exactly what it is.
Well, it's very true. Not many people appreciate the need for liquid storage. But almost everything we do in our world today, at some level, depends on either fuels or products that are basically formed out of liquids, through different processes. And what the terminaling industry, and we call it the terminaling industry, what has evolved from industry-owned assets like the Exxons and the Shells used to own these terminals, to third parties like an IMTT come in and we own these terminals. We put our capital to work, and then we lease these assets to these companies and they use it. We don't make or market or own any of the liquids. We just store them. We really are a hotel for liquids. And the Colemans did a great job. And by the way, I want to say a big shout out to IMTT's corporate structure and culture. When we bought the business almost 5 years ago, we really did consider moving it, the headquarters. It was really, other than the fact that the Colemans had started it and it was here, there was really no other tie binding it. And we worried about recruiting talent and being able to grow from a New Orleans footprint. It took me about, a week and a half to really walking the halls and talking to people and realizing that this is a very special place. And kudos to the Colemans and our corporate staff for building a culture that we said we turned around and told my investors that, no, we're going to stay in New Orleans. And I'm so happy we made that decision.
And we're glad that you did, because your story is one that can be repeated and can, you know, serve as a foundation to lure other companies here to have that same similar experience. That's why I asked you about, you know, how has this process worked for you?
And, you know, and we've brought in some talent, which people told us it would be very difficult to recruit talent in New Orleans. But we've brought in some real good talent from other parts of the country. And they have had similar experiences like we've had as a family. We're happy, and we want to continue to carry on what the Colemans started 80 plus years ago.
What's next, if there is a what's next, for your company, and as you work with the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation, what would be your message to other companies, irrespective of the industry, and what they need to either know, learn, or get involved with?
I will say that one of my disappointments in the 5 years I've been here is I do not see the corporate support as much as I've seen other places. And I'm not sure if that was because we've had some mismanagement along the way, and the nonprofit world just didn't attract itself. I'm not sure why, but I think we, as a corporate member, it's part of our values that we give back to our communities that host us. And at the end of the day, they host us. We generate tax revenue and all that stuff. But it's at the end of the day, our neighbors have to allow us to be there. And so I think continuing to bridge the, and it's a tough place right now. The activism is real. Is that industrial activity is frowned upon. So when I think about where am I headed, I really am leaning into how do we engage the community in a more meaningful way than just through permits. For instance, we've instituted a community monitoring set for air emissions, a community monitoring system in St. Rose, as a response to our community members being worried about what they're smelling and what they're breathing. So we said, you know what, we're going to put together a voluntary system. That data is going to go straight to a database. We're not going to be able to manipulate that data. It's going to be for you to review, and so you can see that we're not harming you. And I think more companies need to, at least on the industrial side, need to do that. And on the just in general corporate, hey, find your passion. Tell any CEO that I talk to, find a passion and go for it.
Well, that level of transparency, I think, will come back, you know, in
it's
multiples.
A win. Yeah. It's
a win. It's a win-win
for
everybody, right?
Yeah. And the same thing for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. Take a look. It's the easiest group to take for granted.
Yeah.
Because they've been around since 91, 89. So don't take them for granted. Check them out and do exactly what, you know, Connor has done .
And, Mike, I would say that if I got a real quick second, the work that they do to bring these big events to New Orleans, it's not just running out the Superdome resume and saying, okay, let's come back. It's massively competitive these days.
Yep.
And they have to, they're on their sell mode every day of the week, trying to sell next year's stuff or 3-4 years down the road. So Support the foundation any way you can.
It's like a Disney production.
Right. 7-Eleven, they're never closed. Yeah, they're always working.
Carlin Connerwood, IMTT, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for picking the city of New Orleans and staying in the city of New Orleans and making a difference in the city of New Orleans.
Thank you, and nothing against your studios, but this is the spot.
Yeah.
In the Superdome.
No doubt.
Well,
no doubt.
I think, I'll see you at Mardi Gras. I'll see you at Mardi Gras.
Sounds great, man.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We're broadcasting live here at the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Banquet on the floor of the Caesars Superdome. Mike Haas, Newell Norman. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
With us. Welcome back, folks. We are on the floor of the Caesars Superdome for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Banquet. I love the guests that we've had thus far. They really know a lot about what's going on. They've got their finger on the pulse of what's happening here in the city, and they are very proactive in what they're doing to try and make a difference.
Because you only have the opportunities of what we had in 25 once in a while. Mm-hmm. So you've got to play off that momentum and immediately hit, and which I think everybody has from a citywide and a region, because you're going to, sooner or later, as soon as they play that next Super Bowl in Santa Clara, we're not going to talk about 59 much anymore, right? Mm-hmm. But right now, you got to play off that momentum, and you're right. I just feel like, as Evan said, Evan Holmes with Legends, that for the first time, the rope is being pulled kind of in by one different groups in one direction, and I think that's important.
Yeah, you know, it never ceases to amaze me, the level of competition, and it's getting more intense, right?
Yeah.
I think six stadiums to either be built or renovated before 2030 or 2031.
Yeah, Jacksonville,
maybe.
Kansas City, the two new ones, Buffalo, Nashville. We saw the Buffalo, you know, building when we were up there, and you know, they're all way smaller. They're not building these massive places anymore from a renovation standpoint. Stadiums that are looking to renovate, you know who they called? Us.
Yeah.
Not me. But, you know, because of the what can you do? Because we just left SoFi. That place cost $5 billion.
Yeah.
So places can't do that. So what we were able to do,
and two teams playing
right,
there,
what we were able to do with a building that's 50 years old, to give it another generation, places like Kansas City, places are looking at Jacksonville. Now Jacksonville has to do what we didn't. I know we got a break coming up. They have to leave their stadium.
Yeah.
No games be in Orlando or somewhere. Didn't have to do that here. Very important.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, Mike Haas is taking on Dustin Poirier.
And thumb wrestling.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
He'd probably break my thumb. Forget thumb wrestling. I need my thumbs. I'm looking forward to this. We'll play golf. I'll take him on golf every other time. He's a great guy. Can't wait to hear about the foundation.
Absolutely. So, folks, when we come back, we will visit with Dustin Poirier, who is going to get the Legacy Award today. So stay with us. Mike Haas, Newell Norman, here on the floor of the Superdome, the Caesars Superdome, that is, for the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation Honors Banquet. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.